A man who's tall enough doesn't need a special pair of boots. And why do I have to go there? Why can't I just keep it very positive and upbeat on a Monday after Easter break? Senator David Perdue, one of our favorites from the great state of Georgia, and he joins us now. Senator, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Hi, Laura. Hope you're well.
I am well. I'm not going to drag you into where you wear, whether you wear platform shoes or boots to make you taller, because you're already a fairly tall man, as I recall. How was your Easter? Did you have a good Easter?
I had a great one. I hope you did, too. It was special.
No, I did. So now it's like, I feel like it's Groundhog Day here on the Laura Ingraham Show today, because the breathless reporting, and you heard the breathless commentary from your colleague Marco Rubio, even throwing in the French election. I don't know how that has anything to do with the shutdown, but he's all worried about Marianne Le Pen, clearly. But where are we on this shutdown mania? Is it likely that the government will shut down? Donald Trump wants funding for this border wall, and Congress doesn't look like it's in the mood to give it to him.
Well, I have two points here. Number one, this is outrageous. Again, here you could take your recording from a year ago, Laura. It would be the same dialogue. You'd have the same question. But here's the problem. Over the last 42 years, since the 74 Budget Act, we've only funded the government four times. We've already missed this year's date. Last September 30th was the date we should have had this government funded. But we passed a continuing resolution, and here we are again, April 28th, having to deal with it again. In the last 42 years, we've had to pass 12 appropriation bills to fund the government. We've averaged 2.5, Laura. That's how dysfunctional Congress has been in this budget law. So, number one, that's what's causing this. Number two, all the money that we're talking about, whether it be for the wall, for infrastructure, for rebuilding our military, by definition, is all borrowed money. That's the reality
printing
of
it.
The last 8 years.
Borrowed or printed, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's all the same. And we're ultimately going to add $10 trillion to our debt over the next decade unless we do something right now. That's what the baseline budget says.
Well, so who's at fault here? I mean, Donald Trump and his team would say the congressional lack of discipline and process-oriented thinking is at fault because you guys can't deal on the budget, budgetary matters.
I absolutely totally agree. If you can only average 2.5 appropriations bills over 42 years, that's the average, then there's something terribly dysfunctional. Both sides are guilty, by the way, and I'm just trying to say that, you know, we've got to fix that. We've been working for a little over a year behind the scenes to try to replace that budget law. We've actually got a bill to do that. The problem is there have to be real consequences in Congress, and that's where Congress drops the ball and doesn't want to deal with it. But we can find a politically neutral platform to fund the government and perpetually avoid these drama moments as we see coming up on April 28th. It's totally irresponsible. One thing I do agree with Marco is it does put the rest of the world in a period of apprehension at a very time when they're hopeful that we're re-engaging around the world and establishing American leadership again.
When you think about where we are right now, the president's coming up to his first 100 days, the media relentlessly biased and negative. Nothing Trump does is right. I mean, they were actually criticizing, like I was away, but I was watching from afar, criticizing the organization, I kid you not, of the Easter egg roll. I mean, I think I had seen everything.
Unbelievable.
But he wasn't standing close enough. I forget this, Senator. He wasn't standing close enough to the bunny. They thought he had awkward body language with the bunny. But Obama put his arm around the bunny or something. They were criticizing Trump for that. Honestly, it's so shameful the way all of this is being reported. But it's easier for them to do that type of reportage, is it not?
It's so hypocritical. He wasn't standing close enough to the bunny when then President Obama did not put his hand over his heart during the national anthem in Arizona with Hillary Clinton back in his first year of office. Not one word was said by the same media. The Washington bubble still doesn't get it, Laura, and people like you do. Thank you for what you're doing to remind us all that there is a reality out here that Washington has perpetrated on the rest of the country, and that's what's at stake here. But let me tell you, I'm so proud of this president so far. Yes, he's different. He is absolutely different. But, you know, Waters of the U.S., the Clean Power Plan, the Keystone Pipeline, how about a justice for the Supreme Court being confirmed? I mean, sanctuary cities, this is a man that's moving at a business pace, not a government pace. And I hope it continues, and sooner or later, the media, whether the media catches up with it or not, I'm less concerned. But what I think we have to do is continue to develop priorities around what really is threatening the very republic that we all love, Laura. I mean, it's just that serious.
I have a question. I had heard about this probably now 2.5 weeks ago from someone who was actually in attendance at this meeting, that there was a conversation, it was casual, with senior members of the Senate. You weren't there, but others that you could guess who they were. And when the issue of the wall funding came up, it was essentially everybody just started laughing. Like, they're never going to fund the wall. Like, this is not going to happen. Now, my question to you is, the president of the United States campaigned on this relentlessly. It is one of the reasons he became president of the United States. It was a solemn vow that this would get paid for. I know he wanted Mexico to pay for it. That might not happen. But the wall itself, he is asking for $1 billion as a down payment, which is just a small amount for this wall. What will happen in the Senate on the question of the wall?
Of course it's got to be funded. I'm outraged when I hear the same thing you refer there. There's a sense of disbelief, really, among some portions of the Republican caucus about the reality of what this president's trying to do. What he is doing is several things. He's reengaging internationally. He says he wants to protect the American borders, which is something we've got to do. It's an issue of national security. So in my mind, the least we can do is support him in that vein. Again, it's a matter of priorities, and we've got to decide what we're not going to be able to afford in order to do the full wall, but we've got to do that, in my opinion. The other thing is we've got to enforce federal law, which is what you heard the Attorney General say just 2 weeks ago about sanctuary cities. We're going to pull back on that funding, which should have been done under the last president. So we're all moving in the right direction. The problem is whether or not the career politicians, if you will, really get behind this president. I just think there are some people sitting around waiting for him to fail, and that's just unconscionable in my mind.
Well, and I think that in the end, when we have these major crises facing us, foreign policy crises with the Cabbage Patch kid president in North Carolina. I keep saying North Carolina, in North Korea, and you know, he's liable to do anything. That guy. This is a serious issue. During the campaign, I'm just going to pat myself on the back. I said Trump should go to the DMZ. I said this multiple times during the campaign that don't go, you know, Israel's great, Britain's nice, go to the DMZ because that's going to be the first flashpoint. And I'm glad Vice President Pence went. But when we have this real threat to the homeland, it's important, I think, that the American people see Congress working with this president and this administration in a really constructive way. Not everyone's going to get everything they want. That's obvious. No one ever does. But I think there could be real strides made in the normal course budgeting and in these major priorities that Donald Trump ran on. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not that difficult to see what are the most important things that have to be done.
Laura, it's really not. Honestly, I tell small groups this all the time. If we close the doors and force ourselves to get to a solution, we can solve the Social Security problem, the Medicare problem, the education problem, the healthcare problem. These are not that complicated. The problem is the political process we have to go through. But how refreshing is it to see a president reengaging on the international scene? Tillerson in Moscow, Xi in Washington, face-to-face with our president. Vice President Pence in South Korea at the DMZ. I couldn't agree with you more. I remember when you called this out earlier, back in the fall, I guess, that one of the first things then the proposed President Trump should do is go to the DMZ. I couldn't agree more. This is a very dangerous situation. And every time Americans have faced this type of crisis, we've gotten shoulder to shoulder. The problem is we're not always the quickest in understanding that we are in the middle of a crisis. I believe the world's never been more dangerous than it is right now. And we need a president to reengage and establish what the national interest of America is. And that's what Trump is trying to do right now.
We're talking to David Perdue, Senator from Georgia, here on the Laura Ingraham Show. I have to ask you about this, the health care, some call it debacle on the repeal and replace. Looked like there was going to be some progress made with the Freedom Caucus in the House. But do you think that he should move forward on this tax reform? Looks like he's going to. It's going to come out, maybe some provisions come out this week. Should he push ahead with that, regardless of having the so-called money to offset this?
Well, personally, I hope we can get some kind of resolution in the short term on this healthcare thing, and here's why. Number one, it's collapsing under its own weight, Laura. You've called this out on your show repeatedly. Well, let me give you one example here in my home state. 96 of our 159 counties only have one health insurance carrier in the individual market. Across the country, there are 1,100 counties with only one carrier, and they're losing money in the individual market. So sooner or later, they're going to withdraw from the individual market, meaning that those people in all those counties will not have any health insurance carrier. So this is a crisis just waiting. You can predict it's going to happen. And there's a chance it could even happen this year. So we're going to have to deal with the health care debacle one way or the other. It's going to force us to. The tax thing, I hope we can get that done by August. I mean, this economy is already moving. We're already moving. If we don't screw it up, we've got a recovery in the making.
Yeah.
Consumer confidence is at a 20-year high, Laura. CEO confidence is 13 years. It's never been any better. And more important, manufacturing confidence is on the rise, partially because this president has made a priority of pulling back on these archaic regulations that have been sucking the very life out of this free enterprise system. So I'm encouraged if we can just get a tax package done with corporate tax relief, and oh, by the way, get rid of some of the corporate welfare included in the deductions as well. Eliminate this repatriation tax, adjust the individual tax to where it's simplified.
We got to get this GDP up. Yeah, we got to get this GDP up.
Absolutely.
I have a question. This has also happened when I was gone. Does it matter that John Ossoff, who he looks like the pajama boy from Obamacare. I remember the pajama boy ads with that kid who wanted health care and his parents. He looks a lot like him, God bless him. He's kind of cute. Is he a young looking guy, 30 years old? But does it matter that he lives with his girlfriend of 12 years and it's a mile and a half away from his district? Do the people of Georgia care about that for the runoff?
Not really. I think what it's going to come down to is that number one, the Democrat again wants to camouflage himself as a moderate. He's really not. He's a liberal. He'll be another vote for Nancy Pelosi. And Republican principles are really still going to win the day here in Georgia. Mm. That district is one where if we get the vote out, we'll have a Republican replace Tom Price, which is job one. We can't give that seat to Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, we're going to work hard on that here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Senator, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you. The Easter season continues, by the way. It's not just one day. Easter is 4 weeks long. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll take a break on the Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. Life set, a lot of interesting pieces, including this piece, Drudge just posted it, about the shadowy groups that are carrying out these anti-Trump protests, the shadowy forces behind these protests. You got to check this out. 855-40-LAURA, don't go away.